ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय अहो वयम् दन्यातमा यद् अत्र त्यक्ता पितृभ्यं न विचिन्तयाम अभक्ष्यमाना अबला वृकादिभिः स रक्षिता यो नो एक्स्क्यूज मी या रक्षति यो हि गर्भे अहो वयम् धन्यतमाय रत्र त्यक्ता पितृभ्यं न विचिन्तयाम अभक्ष्यमाना अबला वृकादिभिः स रक्षिता रक्षति यो हि गर्भे अहो वयम् धन्यतमाय रत्र त्यक्ता पितृभ्यं न विचिन्तयाम अभक्ष्यमाना अबला वृकादिभिः स रक्षिता रक्षति यो हि गर्भे Aho, alas, vayam, we, danyatamah, most fortunate, yet, because, atra, at the present moment, jyaktah, left alone, without protection, pitribhyam, by both mother and father, na not vichintayama worry abakshyamana not being eaten abalaha very weak vrika adivi by tigers and other ferocious animals saha he the supreme personality of Godhead Rakshita will protect. Rakshati has protected. Yaha, who? He, indeed. Garabhe, within the womb. Translation: It is wonderful that these elderly women do not have a higher sense of life than we do. Indeed, we are most fortunate, for although we are children and have been left to struggle in material life, unprotected by father and mother, and although we are very weak, we have not been vanquished or eaten by ferocious animals. Thus we have a firm belief that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has given us protection even in the womb of the mother, will protect us everywhere. Purport. As is stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hri Deshir Junatishtati. The Lord is present in the core of everyone's heart. Thus the Lord gives protection to everyone and gives the different types of bodies the living entity wants to enjoy. Everything is done by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one should not lament the birth and death of a living being, which have been arranged by the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya chaham hridisani vishto mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. One must act according to the direction of the Lord within the heart. But because the conditioned soul wants to act independently, the Lord gives him the facility to act and experience your reactions. The Lord says, Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Give up all other duties and simply surrender unto me. One who does not abide by the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is given the facility to enjoy this material world. Instead of restricting him, the Lord gives the conditioned soul the opportunity to enjoy, so that by mature experience, after many, many births, Bahunam Janmanam Ante, he will understand that surrender to the lotus feet of Vasudeva is the only duty of the living beings. Okay. So the Lord is situated in the heart of the living entity. That's because without him there, nothing works. Because it's by his sanction that we are able to do anything. The soul, being small, doesn't have the potency to move the material energy. So it is by the Lord's sanction that the energy is moving. Right, through his time element. But the living entity, so therefore the living entity has two choices. Either to surrender to the Lord or try to be independent. So by surrendering, then one is agreeing to, abide by the natural transcendental position of the relationship between the Lord and the living entity. Where the Lord, being the supreme, living entity being very minor, then renders service, which is the natural position. Or the living entity can think, I am independent. So the living entity therefore wants to enjoy whatever the facilities are and thinking that I am the doer. So still, that has to be sanctioned by the Lord. As pointed out, the Lord gives that independence to the living entity. And if they want to enjoy separately, they're given the opportunity. So they can do these things. So it's not that the Lord stops. No, one's governed by the modes of nature. One's governed by the laws of nature. So you can't work outside that. But what you want to do, that's not a problem. But whatever you do, you'll get the results. So if you are performing good activities, you'll get a good result. You're performing impious activities, you'll get a bad result. So that's what the Lord is sanctioning. So if you want to do something good, you have that ability, then you'll get. You want to do something bad, you have the karma for it, you'll get. But still, whatever you're doing, the reaction is coming. So, one after many, many bursts of this, the living entity decides, okay, something's not going right here. This is not ideal. I'm trying to be happy, and I'm not becoming happy. I want to be eternal. It's not working. I'm not eternal. Body is dying, as we see here in this story. That the living entity has to change bodies. Right? Living entity will have a body, that's for sure. But it's just being engaged in material energy, the manifestation of everything is temporary. It's unmanifest, then it manifests, and it's unmanifest again. Right? Does that make sense? So it's just the way things work. No one laments, right? It's just like, let's say we have some vegetables, right? Raw vegetables, right? So is there a cooked preparation? No. We cook it. Now you have the manifestation of a cooked vegetable. Then everybody comes and eats it. Then and now again it's not manifest. So is anybody worried? Right? Right? In the restaurant they're sitting here and going, oh, the vegetables have disappeared from the pot here. This is great lamentation. No, not a problem. So everything's like that. So the same way the body is also like that. It comes, it goes. So there's no big deal. So in this, that's not the major point. Even though for Hiranyakashipu, it is the major point. Right? Hiranyakashipu's point is that the women are lamenting. If the women in the house are not happy, the house itself is not happy. So if the men in the house want to be happy, they have to see that the women are happy. Right? Hiranyakashipu is the kind of person who likes to be happy. So therefore, what to do? Make the women happy. Right? Simple point. So, now, these are facts. And he's speaking them so that the women will appreciate. And therefore, then they will stop lamenting for the death of their, you know, son, husband, you know, brother, brother-in-law, like this. And then when they stop lamenting, then they start to see things from a spiritual perspective, then they're happy. And if the women are happy, Hiranyakashipu becomes happy. So even though he's using the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which is bona fide, what he's speaking is correct. But his motive for it is not correct. So he's using the Vedanta philosophy simply to create a pleasant atmosphere in the home. So that he can enjoy in the association of women. So even though he's describing the philosophy very nicely, his purpose is not transcendental. Right? Even though the ladies may get more spiritual, but he just cares that everybody's happy. So then, in this purport then is being pointed out to the Prabhupada that choice is there. You can follow the super soul, or you can not. Right? So following the super soul means there's that surrender to the super soul. That surrender means then we're trying to do things to please the Lord. Right? Like we see Hiranyakashipu, he is acknowledging the super soul, but not surrendering. Right? He's acknowledging that Vishnu takes care of all these things. And so therefore, because Vishnu, in other words, is controlling everything. And so therefore there's birth, there's maintenance, there's death, all these things. And he's acknowledging that. But in his mind, he just wants to remove the lamentation of the women. But actually, in the back of his mind, he's thinking, Vishnu is in control of the death of my brother, therefore let's get rid of Vishnu, and then we have no problem with death. Right? So that's the thing, is knowing the philosophy, knowing God's not enough. It's a beginning. But you actually have to use that knowledge because in devotion to please the Lord. Right? Because if you have knowledge and don't use it, where's the benefit? Right? And that knowledge can be used in so many ways. Right? So you can use it impiously, piously, or devotionally. These are your three options. Right? And within pious, it can either be for karma or jnana.
Right? So not following the direction of the Lord, so much trouble is there. Following the direction of the Lord, but not in devotion, then you can get better material facilities, get liberation. But following it to please the Lord, that gets you devotion. That brings you to the eternal transcendental position, right? In the association of the Lord, in knowledge and bliss. So this is actually a goal. This is spiritual. So that's the difference. The devotee wants to know about the Lord, the specialness of the Lord. So to serve the Lord, to please the Lord. So you have to apply the knowledge, because otherwise it's thought, oh, someone knows about God, so everything's fine. Okay, well, that's a good start. That's a good start. But until they apply it, you know, like the person comes out of school, he has a nice big fancy degree. Okay, does that mean he's ever done anything? No, he has a piece of paper. But until he goes, gets himself situated somewhere and applies it, there's no point of it. But it's going to be easier to take the guy with the degree and have him do the job than a guy who doesn't. So in other words, it's easier to teach devotional service to someone who has knowledge about the Supreme than it is to someone who doesn't. But one should never make the mistake that because someone can quote a few Gita shlokas and knows something of some knowledge about the Lord and the soul, that they're devotees. Devotee means one knows those things to please the Lord. Otherwise, if you don't make this distinction, you'll be conditioned by goodness. And being conditioned by goodness, you'll think that everything's going great. I'm living a life of goodness. It's nice. It's good. But why are you doing it? Right? Just like this. Okay, we go to Mangalarti. Why do we go to Mangalarti? Right? You know, it's Brahma Muhurta. It's the spiritual time in the morning. Right? The best, most advancement is there. By getting up early, it's also better for the health, better for the mind, better for the intelligence. You know, just all around better. Right? Good? Right? Convinced? Yeah. Did we mention one word about devotion here? No. So why is that? Why, as devotees, do we miss the point? Because that's our conditioning. We come to the material world because we missed the point. Right? In the spiritual world, you have the Lord, and you have His devotees. So the devotees are serving the Lord. But we're thinking that all this service and facility is nice. I could enjoy this. So what's missing? The Lord. So instead of seeing the primary, which is the devotion, we're seeing the secondary, which is the facilities and results. Right? So because of that, then we come to the material world. So the natural thing in the material world is simply to look at the secondary aspects. Nice facility, nice this, nice positions, nice, you know, whatever it is we consider nice. Different people have different ideas of what's nice. Right? Somebody getting a whole bucket of halva to themselves is considered nice. Someone else wouldn't want a whole bucket of halva. Right? Does that make sense? So, the idea is that when we see the primary, which means the Lord, that's when it becomes dynamic. Otherwise, it's nice. It's good. It's recommended. Right? Being in the mode of goodness is recommended. Why? Because it's easier to go from goodness to pure goodness. But goodness itself is not enough. Brahma, the Prajapatis, the Nakshatras, they're all in the best quality of goodness you get in the material world. But where are they? In the material world. They're not in the spiritual world. So, how does that work then? When we see everything in connection to the Lord, so when the super soul is there, we follow the instructions. So Prabhupada's mentioned this, sarva dharmam parityaja, means we're not performing our activities because of the religious aspect of it. We're performing it because it pleases Krishna. Right? Back to our Mangalartik example. Okay. Mangalartik, what does that mean? It's when Krishna first wakes up. Right? And when Krishna first wakes up, the devotees are happy to see him. So they come greet him, offer artik. Okay? So the eternal residents of the spiritual world, they're going to Mangal Arati because they want to please the Lord. They want to see him. It's first time in the morning they can see him because he's been sleeping all night. So they can see him, they can serve him, they can do something to make him happy. That's why they have Mangal Arati. Right? Does that make sense? But as we said before, if we're thinking I'm going to Mangal Arati, it's a religious principle, it's something I should be doing, it's good, it's nice, it's proper, you know, it's spiritual. This is dharma. Right? So sarva dharmam parityaja doesn't mean we stop doing dharma. We stop doing dharma for dharma's sake. We do it for devotion's sake. Does that make sense? It does not make sense. It makes sense. Okay. That was okay. Sorry. I've been on Bengal. They don't move the head quite as much, so I'm out of practice. So the point is, a sarva dharmam parityaja simply means that one, we're following the laws of God, but we're not following because the benefit we'll get from following Him. We're following because they please Krishna. Right? Mother Yashoda, who does she cook for? Right? She's just hungry in the middle of the night with like some nice tasty snack, you know, something little. Salty, a little sour, a little sweet, you know, a little fried, a little fresh, you know, some nice chaat or something in the middle of the night, right? So when no one's looking, she sneaks out, goes down to Juhu Beach there, you know, catches the guys that come in at 2 o'clock and, you know, like that, you know, so she can be back at home before Mangal Arati, right? No? No. So she only cooks for Krishna. Right? So then what is the rule here on cooking? We have rules on cooking. Okay? So, when we go into the kitchen, what's the mentality? Right? We're cooking for Krishna. Where did that come from? Just a rule because the temple president decided to, you know, restrict everyone and make everybody uncomfortable because he's the supreme controller of everything? Is that why he did it? No, he is giving you the rule because that's the rule of the spiritual world. You understand? In the spiritual world, they only cook for Krishna. Radharani, she cooks for Krishna. Mother Yashoda cooks for Krishna. Right? We don't really hear much of anybody else cooking, but if they're cooking, they're cooking for Krishna. So we're given that same rule here. So for us, it's a rule, so it's dharma. But in the spiritual world, it's bhakti. It's not dharma. Dharma is following the bhakti of those in the spiritual world. Now, if you do it to please Krishna, it's dharma and you advance because it's devotional service. Now, there's tons of people out here in India that cook for the deity, but not to please the deity. It's just, it's the rule. You think smartas really care about devotion for the Lord? Right? Right? You have five kinds of smartas, right? We all know smartas, right? Okay, so they're going to be worshippers of Durga, worshippers of Shiva, worshippers of Ganesh, worship of Surya, or worshippers of Vishnu. Now, the smartest who worship Vishnu are called Vaishnavas. That's just how the Sanskrit works, right? Ganapatyas, Suryas, Shaktas, Shaivas, right? They're all smartest, and they all follow very nicely. They do all the things we do. So these Vaishnava smartas, they follow all the rules. Why are they following? Simply because they're dharma. What is their purpose from them? Either karma, they want to go to the heavenly planets, or they want a liberation. No devotion involved. But dharma, yes. Right? You can't say they're not Brahmins and they're not following nicely. That you can't say. Right? You can say there's no devotion. That's the weak point. Not that they're following rules. That's pious. That's good. Right? So now, that's the whole point of sarva dharma parityaja. It means we've come from not following the laws of God to following the laws of God because of the benefit. We've not followed the laws of God, we're suffering. We follow the laws of God, then we find that we're suffering less. Right? And so now, it's a matter of taking the step farther, is that we're doing it to please Krishna. When Krishna is pleased, That's what's going to give the full effect. That's when we're actually going to be happy. Because when he's happy, we're happy. It works like that. Does this make sense? So sarva dharma paritya ja, some say, oh, we don't have to follow any rules. No, it means I follow the rules not to follow the rules. I follow the rules because it pleases Krishna. Does that make sense? So the form of following dharma and the form of sarva dharma look the same. For devotees, right? For the smartas, there'll be some changes. You know, their worship of the pitris and devatas and all these different things when they do all the different pujas they do. So they may drop that, some of those, but all the ones that we have, we don't drop those. We're too eager to drop them. Right? Oh, we're devotees. We don't have to follow the rules. How does that work? Right? Right? You have to, you know, which side of the street do you drive on here in Bombay? The left, right? Most of the time, right? Otherwise, most people take their half of the road out of the middle. That's the standard, right? And whoever's bigger then doesn't move, right? Someone showed me that when we were in Assam. We were driving down the road at middle of the night. And the lorries are coming the other way. And they're driving right down the middle of the road. So then I pulled over, you know, like that. And he keeps driving down the middle of the road. So then the devotee sitting next to me says, no, 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 like that. He says, you keep driving down the middle of the road yourself until the lorry starts to move over. When they move, then you move. Otherwise, they'll run you off the road. Right? Okay. So that's the real laws of driving in India. Right? You know, there's the ones in the books, and then there's the reality. Right? So the point is, there's laws. We have to follow laws everywhere. So now it's a matter of, one, do we follow laws that are authorized? And two, do we follow them because they please Krishna? That's the whole point. So this balance of what sarva dharma and paritya ja means, how to follow the rules of Paramatma, but at the same time as it's not because of the benefits we'll get in karma and jnana from following it, but we're doing it in devotion to the Lord. That's what we want. That's the actual thing we're trying to get. Right? So that makes everything perfect. That's sarva dharma and paritya ja. Right? So we're following the rules, not because the rules are important on their own. They're only important because of their connection to Krishna. Right? Smartas follow them because they're important. You follow the rules, you go to the heavenly planets, you get liberation. Devotees aren't interested in that. They follow the rules because it will please Krishna. That's the difference. So the pleasing Krishna is the primary, the rule is secondary. Otherwise, then you get niyamagraha, right? Because what's niyamagraha mean? Niyamagraha means that the focus is on the secondary. It's not about Krishna. Right? It's about the secondary. It's the rules, right? So the liberal will go, this rule is there, it's archaic, why do we have to follow it, why do we have to be restricted? They don't follow the rule, right? The conservative then, they follow the rule because it's a rule, you're supposed to follow the rules, otherwise there'll be chaos, you know, if we don't follow rules, and what's that? Or the Shastra gives it, so therefore it's what we have to do, right? Now, did you notice in either of these positions the understanding that it pleases Krishna? So whether we follow the rule or don't follow the rule, if Krishna's not involved, that's niyamagraha. That's why there's a whole problem. The liberals don't like the conservatives, conservatives don't like the liberals, but both have missed the point. The point is to please Krishna. Does this make some sense? Right? So the balance between following the laws given by Paramatma and giving up all attachment to these laws is devotion. Out of devotion, we follow to please the Lord. And that makes everything perfect. So that's exactly what Hiranyakashipu is not doing. But from his teachings, the acharyas are able to glean from that useful instruction for us so that we can come to that platform even though he was not interested. Right? So this is a case of taking gold from a dirty place. Right? His instructions are very valuable, though he himself is not following it. Does that make any sense? Okay. Any questions on this? Or comments? Or anything else? Yes. Aha. Okay. Question is that I mentioned about in Goloka Mother Jashoda Radharani cooking for Krishna. So, but what about the other residents there? Wouldn't they be cooking for the families? Okay. Two aspects. One is it's a point of interest. You understand? But technically it's not relevant to the discussion. We'll discuss it anyway. Because the discussion is that who have you heard about cooking in Goloka? You've heard about these other residents cooking? You've heard about it in some pastime? No. So that's why we only want that far. So you take how much of it is useful. Now that you've taken it and extended it, it means there's intelligence, you're contemplating it and trying to see where it goes from there. But the point is now discussing these others, how is that going to apply to you? How are you going to use that in your life? Right? That's what you have to get. So otherwise, if it's just points of interest, then it takes on the nature of the jigyasu. Right? Arta artarti jigyasu jnani. Right? You know these four? Okay. So the jigyasu is interested in knowing knowledge of the Lord and the soul. Right? But it's not so much so, that means about the mechanics of things. How mechanically everything works. How the material, the creation works, maintenance, just, you know, and everything from Brahman up to Paramatma. But not much interest in Bhagavan. Right? Jnani then wants to know about Bhagavan, but it's knowledge about Bhagavan. That's why it's still on the neophyte platform. It's not about devotion. But any of these four, by associating with those who are more advanced, will take up that. Because the point is they're all turning to Krishna. So that's the glorious part. Right? But you have to know what to take from that. So using the intelligence, analyzing and all that. But one has to keep going to the point of how it's going to be useful to you. Right? So, these other residents of Vrindavan, they all consider Krishna more important than themselves. Okay? So, even if they're just cooking in their house, since Krishna's more important when they're cooking, who are they thinking of? Krishna. Okay. So, just like Mother Jashoda. Now, they may not be personally serving Krishna with it, but now, why would the residents of Vrindavan eat? What would be the point? Why would they eat? No idea. Why do people generally eat? What happens if you don't eat? Become weak. Okay, and if you're weak, then what happens? How much service do you do? Not so much, okay? So, since the residents of the spiritual world, they think like how in the pastimes in Gokul. You understand? Goloka is the eternal pastimes that are always, you know, aprakat means who are there, it's always there. Here, they come and go, right? But the mentality in the aprakat is that of the prakat. You understand? So, that doesn't make sense. Okay. Mother Jashoda, why does she cook for Krishna? To please Krishna, but what's her thinking? If she doesn't feed Krishna, what will happen? He'll die. Right? Where do you get such an idea? That's here, in the material world. So the Gokul pastimes, they think, how they think there in relationship to the world is how they think in Goloka. That's where you get it from. Does that make sense? In Vaikuntha, they think like Vaikuntha. But in Goloka, they think like Gokul. Right? So therefore, they'll be thinking, if we don't eat, we won't have the strength to serve Krishna. So that's why they're eating. And what they're always thinking of Krishna, and their only purpose of eating is to serve Krishna, so then, is there any problem? Okay? You understand? So that's why you have to take the principle and take it across. Because otherwise what happens if we take the secondary, then one secondary is different from another secondary. Right? Just like, let's say again, you go into the restaurant, you look at all the preparations there, they're so different from each other. Right? One pot, things are cooked. There's one bowl there that's sitting there with chilies and lemons in it. Is that cooked? No. So you could say, well, this is so contradictory. Here's cooked, here's uncooked. You know, there's some things that are very rich, very light, things that are salty, things that are sweet. So much contradiction. How do I work all this out? But as a meal goes, it fits in very nicely. You understand? So if you see it as a meal, all contradictions are resolved. So if you see everything in relationship with Krishna and devotion to Krishna, all these differences in secondary manifestations are resolved. Does that make sense? Because it's about pleasing Krishna. Right? So we perform our duties to please Krishna, and the duties are all different. Brahmachari duties are different from grihastha duties. Right? But the point is grihastha performing their duties, they're Krishna conscious. The brahmachari performing their duties are Krishna conscious. Now you could say, oh, but the grihastha is doing this, the brahmachari is doing that. How can the grihastha be Krishna conscious? Or is the brahmachari actually real? Isn't he just, imitating? Or so these conversations come up when we separate the two. But when we separate it from Krishna, that's when the problem comes. When we connect it back to Krishna, there's no problem. Brahmachari is being a brahmachari for Krishna, grihastha is being a grihastha for Krishna. Then where's the problem? Does that make sense? Yeah. So like that. In other words, the process you started is good. Just keep it going. Don't just stop when it gets interesting. Like you have, you ever seen those books? They're full of unlimited, useless facts. All very interesting. There's some funny worm somewhere that's 5 feet long and, eats this. Weird. Interesting. But what are you going to do with it? No? Yeah. So, in other words, that's nice, but you have to get past that point. Right? How am I going to apply this in my life? How will this actually affect in my life? Right? You understand? Does that make sense? Now, does that make sense? So now if you took that and went, okay, Mother Yashoda, Radharani are cooking for Krishna, but the other residents of Vrindavan, they're in their own home, so they would be cooking for themselves, not the temple, they're cooking for Krishna. I'm at my home. So, what's my position? I'm not cooking for the deities in the temple. So, how does this work? Right? Then you can see a parallel there. But because they're remembering Krishna and cooking so that they can please Krishna, because they want to do service, then I would be doing the same thing in my home, even though I'm not in the temple. Right? That's where you continue it to the point where it becomes useful. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay? Yeah. Yes. Niyamagraha is your major problem. What should you do? Give it up. That's what you should do. Concentration and attention is very poor. So then that means if its concentration is not very good and the attention is not very good, you can't focus on Niyamagraha very much. So it should be a small problem. Right? For Niyamagraha to be serious, you have to have focus in everything. Like a smarta or a liberal. They're focused, they have a problem. You know what I'm saying? But if you have lack of focus and attention, that means it's not much of a problem. Now, the real problem is lack of attention and focus, not the Niyamagraha. You know what I'm saying? Point is Niyamagraha comes up when we don't know why we're doing something. You understand? If you know why you're doing it, then it becomes useful. Because then I understand what to follow and what not to follow. Right? But if I'm following it because it's just supposed to be followed, that's good, that's pious. But it should be I'm following it because I'm supposed to, because that will please Krishna. You take it to that next step. Okay? Or, this, why I should follow it. But the point is how does it benefit Krishna by not following it? Right? If I say, oh, I don't need to follow the rules, how does not following the rules serve Krishna? You understand? So it's not serving Krishna and it's not pious. So therefore, generally, the liberal loses out the greatest. You know, like we see in India. Now, they're taking on this more modern kind of perspective, and they're losing everything. You know what I'm saying? Before it was every boy could say, my mom's cooking is the best cooking in the world. Literally, they could say that. Every boy in India. Nowadays, not so many can say that, because a lot of boys, their mom doesn't even know how to cook. Give her a pot of water and she might burn the water. You know what I'm saying? So how is McDonald's better than your mother's cooking? You know what I'm saying? So this is the benefits of the liberals. Liberal means you lose everything of value in the name of value. And the fun part is who makes the money off of it? The conservatives. They're the ones making all the money. You know what I'm saying? A liberal does not run McDonald's, a conservative does. You understand? So therefore, Niyamagraha is only a problem because we don't know why we're doing things. You know why you're doing something, there's no problem. Then you can judge how much I'm supposed to follow or not for this situation, that situation. So it's only because we look at the secondary instead of the primary, that's the difficulty. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. So, cultivate your focus on Krishna consciousness and leave your lack of focus and attention on the material the way it is. You understand? Like that. You'll get more benefit. Okay? That is.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, the Prabhupada writes in the last line of the purport, that after many, many births, he will understand that surrender to the lotus feet of Vasudev is the only duty of all living beings.
Yes.
So then my question was that if I will forget whatever I did in my past lives, then how would I understand this mature understanding that, okay, now let me surrender to Krishna? Because past lives, I don't know what I was yogi or what. Means.
Okay. So then you're thinking that, I mean, difficulty is here, is the weakness will be is that you're thinking that knowledge generates bhakti. Most people think karma generates bhakti. Oh, if we're pious, we're good, we're situated in the mode of goodness. Right? Have you ever heard some people say, until you come to goodness, you can't be, you know, a good devotee? Right? You've heard that. This is karma. That's thinking karma, bhakti is generated from karma. Your question is, bhakti is generated from jnana. Right? That's why Rupa Goswami points out that bhakti is independent of karma and jnana. It's not dependent upon that. Therefore, you can have someone who's very unqualified take up devotional service. Right? I don't know about now. It used to be you go back 20, 30 years. Now it's rainy season. So many people would join the temple. You know, and when rainy season's over, they'd leave and go back to the street. So here's unqualified people. They don't have piety, they don't have knowledge, they're doing bhakti. And they're eternally benefited. Even though they just think it's a place to get something to eat and a place to sleep with dry. But they've turned to Krishna for that, and they get that benefit. So it's free from karma and jnana. Otherwise you have at the university, people are very intelligent. Especially the nuclear physicists, you know, they're so sharp. But they've completely missed the point. So that's why Prabhupada says maturity. Because if you have knowledge, like people in the world who are very expert in the worldly activities, from the Vedic point of view, they're called immature, they're children. That's what Yamaraj is pointing out here. He's come as a child. He understands the philosophy, but these elder women, the queens, don't. So maturity is not age. Maturity is actually God consciousness. Because if you have material ability and skill, you're still a child. Because the soul is the real person. And how much does the soul know? All it is you've cultivated that your material body and mind and intelligent senses are coordinated enough to do something very skilled. You know what I'm saying? The guy who's got an engineering degree. Who's got the engineering degree? The soul or the body? The body. You understand? So you've taken the material mind, intelligence, senses, body, and worked that all together so that you have qualification in engineering. Someone else in IT, someone else in business, they got their MBA. Right? But that's the body has the skills. And those skills are varna, not ashram. So nowadays people are becoming more and more skilled in varna, but less and less skilled in ashram. So you have people becoming, you know, much greater on the one side, and they're becoming like infants in the womb on ashram side. Take the big guy, he's making millions, crores. But as far as ashram goes, you could probably bring a 3-year-old kid and he'd know more about spiritual life than this guy. You know what I'm saying? So therefore the term mature is given because of God consciousness. Now if I keep doing it and I start to think something's not right here, you start off next life with that mentality. It's not about the maturity is from the mentality, not from the skill. It's not because I have knowledge of all my lives and then I can see and therefore I can see Krishna consciousness and all that kind of thing. That's not what's going to happen. Right? You see in the movies, the guys that get all the knowledge of the universe, generally the head cracks. So, you know, it's not recommended. Right? So the whole point is okay, let's say you know that you were whatever is important to you. You were a big, huge philosopher recognized in the world and everything like this, but, you know, you didn't behave properly, so now you ended up in the position you're in and you don't have that kind of knowledge position and all that. Is that going to make you feel better? No. So that's why it's better you forget it. You understand? Maturity comes from the consciousness, not from the knowledge and skills.
So as I understand, Maharaj, you mean to say that mentality and consciousness is what I will be carrying from past lives, and that will influence my attraction toward Krishna.
Yes. In other words, if last life, then you thought, all this I've worked so hard my whole life, let's say I was successful, I got everything I wanted, am I happy? Right? Let's take, you take the guy, he's got a huge plot down on the beach, right? He's got 15 cars in the driveway. He's got tons of money, crores and crores of money, you know, like that. And his kids are just into partying. You know, his wife is off, you know, at her, you know, hen parties with the other people. And that's all that's going on. Are you satisfied? No. So you're going to start to think, something's wrong here. There's something more than just material gain. I work so hard. I have this. Why am I not happy? So that mentality goes with you. Next life, there'll be something there. Then when you come out, you're born, everybody's, oh, how cute, how nice. Anything you do is fabulous. So again, you start thinking, okay, there's some possibility. So after many lifetimes of doing that and coming to the conclusion something's wrong here, at some point, there's a little bit, it starts coming out earlier. And then, if we come in contact with the devotees, then it clicks. Right? Otherwise, you see successful men, you must have preached, go into their offices, talk about God consciousness. Oh, nice, nice, nice. Yeah, but I support so many things. I'm giving in charity to the poor kids here and this and that. So we're just another charity. We're just another pious activity. You can't even see the spiritual. Nothing. But amongst his friends, oh, he's the most intelligent, he's the most successful, he's the best, he's the this, he's the that. He's a kid. He's a child. He's a baby. He can't even tell the difference between piety and spiritual. He's a baby. A very rich baby. Very powerful baby. An influential baby. But a baby nonetheless. And you just give him a few more years and he'll be a baby again. You understand? So that's the whole thing is that why is it that you go into somebody's office, you preach to them, and they become devotees? Right? Does that make sense? And others, you go in and present everything, and they're busy. Oh, I don't have anything right now. Right? The guy's probably got a crore in his drawer, but he doesn't have enough. You understand? Why is that? Because of lack of maturity. So when that maturity starts, comes up more, when they contact devotional service, they take it. That's the Bahunam Janmanam Ante. Right?
Thank you. Maharaj, one more small question.
Right, because you have to take the Vasudeva Sarvam Iti, not the Jnanavam Man. You're taking that. Oh, the knowledge is what? No, it's the surrender. Okay?
Maharaj, one small question more. Maharaj, going back to that Niyamagraha point, I've written down my question is, why am I doing something? When I'm doing something, I may not know, but then that is what gradually advances me, and that is what rules are meant for. So then how to balance between Niyamagraha and Sadhana Bhakti?
Point is Niyamagraha, the difficulty is that we're not seeing Krishna. Right? Let's say as a devotee, I see, okay, there's not an importance of doing a Pitri Puja or something. So I've given up a rule. Why have I given up the rule? Because we're serving Krishna. So now is it a problem? No. Now most people don't do Pitri Puja. Why not? It is so much trouble. You don't get much more trouble than Pitri Puja. It's one of the most difficult of all the Karmakanda things. You have to have exact things, right Brahmins, right place, right food, served the right way. You know, if you have the pot of prasad that you're going to serve the Brahmins for the Pitri Puja, right? And you hold it with one hand, right? Most people like to hold it with one hand. You know, when they're carrying it, right? Because two hands, hey, that takes effort. The Rakshasas eat that food. It doesn't go to the Pitris. Like that, there's tons of rules. You know, for Manu, it takes up one whole chapter. 1/12 of the Manu Samhita is rules for Pitri Puja. Okay? Now, most people in India don't follow it because it's too much trouble. Right? It's so much easier just to get in your car and drive down to Juhu Beach and have some chaat. Right? So, that's the whole thing. Is they don't see the real thing. So, that Niyamagraha, giving up the rules, that's what's the benefit? So, they're lazy. Right? In mode of passion, they're renouncing. They're not doing things in goodness. There's no devotion. They get no benefit at all. Zero. Devotee, in that case, is giving up, but he knows why. Right? And then we have, like, the smarta. He's following the rule right, left, and center. Everything exactly. You know, every rule, every letter. But he's still getting no devotional benefit because he doesn't see it connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? So when you do that, see it connected to Krishna, that's when Niyamagraha isn't a problem anymore. Niyamagraha is only a problem when you don't see it connected to Krishna. So as a devotee, we should see everything connected to Krishna. Therefore, devotees don't have a problem with Niyamagraha. But Rupa Goswami is pointing it out just so that we understand that the primary aspect of Krishna is what's important, and the secondary is only in support of that. You understand? I express the primary through the secondary. That's the only importance of the secondary. Secondary doesn't have any importance on its own. Right? I have a kitchen. It's got tons of pots and pans in it. All nice ones. I've, you know, really researched it. Got the best pots and pans in the world. What's the point? If I don't cook. If I cook, all those pots and pans have meaning. If I don't cook, then it's a fancy kitchen I can show off to friends when they come over for a party. Wow, check out the kitchen. Wow, did you see his kitchen? Wow. You know, and then you're sitting there thinking, yeah, no, that was worth it. No, kitchens are for cooking. So, rules and regulations are to please Krishna. You understand? So, I cook the primary through the kitchen. So, I serve Krishna through the rules. But it's not about the rules, it's about Krishna. That's the difference. Sarvadharma means it's about Krishna. I use the rules, and I use the rules. I give it to Krishna. That's called renunciation, right? But I want to serve Krishna. I follow the rules. That's called sannyas. 18.1 in Gita. When I'm doing the activity to please Krishna, it's about pleasing Krishna. That's why I'm doing the activity. That's sannyas. When I'm doing the activity because I like doing the activity and I give the results to Krishna, that's renunciation. Both good. Sannyas is higher. So sannyas is sarvadharma and parityaja. It's about Krishna. Is that okay? Does that work? Okay. Yes.
Hare Krishna. I want to narrate one incident, how providence works. One time, maybe 25 years before, there's Devkan Prabhu's sister's husband, Baldev Prabhu, and I was staying in the Ahmedabad temple, doing some service there. So once he has to go to pick up his daughter from the school. So he said, Prabhu, you come with me also. So it's a driving experience. So I went with him and he said, why don't you drive also? I say, I not know how to drive bicycle also. I know only how to drive bullock cart. But I say, I will try. So what happened? This side we went nicely. Other side, when coming back, what happened? I was driving along with him. He was sitting in the steering. And then one big truck has come from forward against us. And that time, the Baldev Prabhu was he scattered. He not able to control, take over the rickshaw. Then, in spite of decreasing the accelerator, I increased it more. And the rickshaw was going fast and truck was coming fast. So, the truck wala not knowing that what is happening in this. So what happened? Then I took left turn. Left turn. I felt that maybe if fell left side of the road, then it will be less hurt. So when I put a left, the same time Baldev Prabhu put pressed the brake, and the rickshaw failed. So what happened? The Baldev Prabhu's the collarbone was broken. His hand was fractured. But his daughter sitting 5-7 years behind seat. She not got any hurt, nothing. And from me, little scratch was came on my hand. So, by the will of the Providence, and by the mercy of Radharaswari, we are saved to do complete little more service for Sri Prabhupada and Sri Radharaswari and Sarva Vaishnavas.
Okay, very good.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay.
So by the incident, if even you try level best, till accident will take place, I will not be saved. And if time is in our favor, or Lord's mercy is there and Vaishnava's mercy is there, even there is a situation of being accident will not happen. Krishna will take care.
Yes, okay, very good.
Hare Krishna.
Anything else? Or? No? Okay, so end now. Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Gaur Hari.